Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive.
Always fun to explore these ancient texts.
And today we're looking at the book of Proverbs.
Proverbs, yeah.
But through the lens of scholar Dr. Nutheim.
Oh, interesting. I've heard his name before.
Yeah, he's known for some pretty thought-provoking interpretations.
So what are we focusing on today? Any particular themes?
Well, we're going to be looking at two sets of Proverbs. One pair is all about wealth and security.
Okay, money matters, always relevant.
And the other set dives into a much heavier topic, genocide.
Wow, that's quite a leap from personal finances to something so serious.
I know, right? But Dr. Im does a really interesting job of connecting them both to the idea of responsibility.
Responsibility.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How so?
Well, the first set of Proverbs asks how we view wealth and security. Like, what do we really place our trust in?
Makes sense.
And then the second set challenges us to think about what we do when faced with unimaginable evil.
Mm.
Like, how do we respond? How do we act?
So it's about responsibility to ourselves and responsibility to others. Exactly. It's like two sides of the same coin.
I like that analogy.
So let's start with those Proverbs on prosperity. We're looking at Proverbs 10.15:16 and 18.9:12. Now, 10.15 seems to say that wealth equals safety. The wealth of the rich man is his fortified city. The ruin of the poor is their poverty.
It does sound pretty straightforward, like a simple equation.
Right. But then Dr. Heim points out that the very next verse, 10.16, kind of flips that idea on its head.
Oh, how so?
Well, it says, the wages of the righteous is life, but the gain of the wicked is sin. So it suggests that true security comes from righteous living, not from your bank account.
Interesting. So it's not as simple as it first appears.
Nope, not at all. And Dr. Heim actually uses this concept of proverbial pairs to explain why these two verses are placed side by side.
Proverbial pairs. What does that mean?
It's like, think of it as two friends having a debate. One friend makes a point, and then the other friend offers a counterpoint.
Okay, I see.
So by presenting these contrasting ideas, the Proverbs are encouraging us to think more deeply about the issue.
To wrestle with it a little bit.
Exactly. It's not just about reading each proverb in isolation, but understanding the context and how they relate to each other.
So 10.15 presents one perspective on wealth, and then 10.16 challenges that perspective.
Exactly. And then it gets even more interesting when we move on to Proverbs 18.11.
What happens there?
Well, this verse uses the phrase in his fantasy when describing the rich man's wealth as a fortified city.
In his fantasy? I'm curious to hear where this is going.
Dr. Heim suggests that this implies that the protection offered by wealth might be an illusion.
Oh, so it's not that wealth can't provide any sense of security.
Right. It's not necessarily saying wealth is completely useless.
But it's not the ultimate source of true security.
Exactly. And to further illustrate this point, Dr. Heim groups Proverbs 18.1 and 12 as a proverbial triplet.
Okay, so we're moving from pairs to triplets now.
We are. We're leveling up.
I'm following along. So how does this triplet work?
Well, we start with 18.10, which says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower, the righteous run to it and are safe. This sets the foundation for the whole triplet by establishing that true refuge is found in God.
Okay, so 18.10 sets the stage. What do the next two verses add?
Well, 18.11, as we talked about, contrasts the true security found in God with that potentially false sense of security offered by wealth.
Right, right. And then what about 18.12?
18.12 warns about pride leading to destruction.
Pride. Interesting. How does Dr. Heim connect that to wealth?
He links it back to that idea of placing too much trust in material possessions, like becoming so fixated on wealth that it leads to a kind of spiritual downfall.
I see. Pride can definitely blind us to what's truly important.
Yeah, it's like the Proverbs are warning us not to put all our eggs in the wrong basket, so to speak.
It's a timeless message, isn't it? Even thousands of years ago, people were wrestling with these same questions about wealth and what truly matters.
Absolutely. And it's still so relevant today. I mean, we're constantly bombarded with messages equating wealth with success and happiness.
Yeah.
It's everywhere you look. Add social media, even just casual conversations.
So these Proverbs offer a really powerful reminder that true fulfillment comes from something much deeper.
A reminder we all need to hear from time to time, I think.
Definitely. It's a good challenge to examine our priorities,
you know.
But before we move on to that other set of Proverbs, can you give me another example of a proverbial pair, just so I can really grasp how this technique works?
Absolutely. Let's look at Proverbs 13.24, which says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him.
Okay, so this one seems to be about discipline or maybe even punishment.
It does, right. But Dr. Haim suggests we shouldn't take this proverb literally.
Really? Why not?
Well, he says that this verse is not actually advocating for physical punishment.
Oh, okay, so it's more metaphorical.
Exactly. It's about the importance of loving guidance and correction, not about hitting your kids.
That makes a lot more sense. And how does the next verse fit in?
The very next verse, Proverbs 13.25, says, "The righteous eats to the satisfaction of his soul, but the belly of the wicked suffers want."
Hmm. I don't see the immediate connection between those two.
Well, Dr. Haim suggests that 13.25 reinforces the idea from 13.24 by saying that those who live righteously, who are open to guidance and correction, they experience true satisfaction.
Ah, I see. So it's not about physical food, but about spiritual nourishment.
Exactly. By understanding this concept of proverbial pairs, we can see how these verses work together to reveal a deeper meaning.
It's like unlocking a hidden code.
Sometimes a proverb might seem harsh or confusing on its own, but when we consider it in relation to its partner, the message becomes much clearer.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like I'm seeing proverbs in a whole new light.
It's definitely a rewarding way to approach these ancient texts.
But now I'm really curious to hear how Dr. Haim tackles that topic of genocide using this same approach.
It's a powerful analysis for sure.
So what proverbs is he focusing on there?
He examines Proverbs 24.12, which paints a very disturbing picture of suffering and inaction.
Oh, wow. Okay, so what do those verses actually say?
They say, "If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter."
Wow, those are intense. You can really feel the urgency and desperation in those lines.
And that's where Dr. Haim's analysis gets incredibly profound.
How so?
He connects these verses to the excuses people make for not taking action during times of crisis, like genocide.
Oh, wow. It's like he's holding a mirror up to humanity.
Exactly, forcing us to confront our own complacency in the face of evil.
It's easy to become desensitized to suffering, especially when it feels far removed from our own lives.
But Dr. Haim is saying that ignorance is no excuse.
So he's calling out those justifications we often use for turning a blind eye to atrocities.
Things like, "I couldn't have made a difference," or "I didn't know it was that bad."
Those excuses are unsettlingly familiar, aren't they? We hear them all the time.
All the time. Even in situations that don't involve genocide.
So what's Dr. Haim's response to those excuses?
He believes those proverbs challenge us to be aware, to be informed, and to be willing to act even when it's difficult.
That's a powerful message.
It is, and it's one that we need to hear now more than ever.
But I'm curious about the specific imagery and language used in these verses. What does he make of those phrases, "rescue those being led away to death," and "hold back those staggering towards slaughter"?
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty graphic descriptions.
He doesn't shy away from the harsh reality of those words. In fact, Dr. Haim's personal background adds another layer to his interpretation here.
Oh, really? How so?
You see, he often reflects on the experiences of some Germans during the Holocaust who used those very excuses, "we didn't know," or "we couldn't have done anything," to justify their inaction.
That's heavy. It makes you realize that these proverbs aren't just abstract concepts. They have real-world implications.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
And Dr. Haim sees them as a powerful condemnation of passivity in the face of evil.
So we have a moral obligation to act.
Even if it means risking our own safety or comfort?
That's a high standard.
It is. But he also emphasizes that true Christian martyrdom is about active love and sacrifice for the vulnerable, not about violence or self-destruction.
Right. He's distinguishing this from other forms of martyrdom that might be driven by ideology or a desire for personal glory.
Exactly. He's saying that true Christian martyrdom is about aligning our actions with our faith, even when it's dangerous.
It's about standing with those who are suffering, even if it means putting ourselves at risk.
Precisely. And he goes even further, suggesting that if we find ourselves in a situation where we can make a difference and the possibility of martyrdom arises, we should embrace it.
Wow. That's a lot to process.
It is. It's a challenging idea, but also incredibly inspiring.
It makes you think about your own values and what you would be willing to stand up for.
Definitely.
How do you personally grapple with that call to action, knowing that it could lead to such extreme consequences?
It definitely makes you question your own courage and convictions. It's easy to say you would stand up for what's right, but when faced with real danger, would you have that kind of strength?
It's a tough question to ask yourself.
Dr. Haim's interpretation certainly pushes you to confront those tough questions.
He does. It's definitely not a comfortable conversation to have, but I think it's an important one.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how do we bridge that gap between these extreme examples of martyrdom and our daily lives? I mean, most of us aren't facing situations like genocide on a regular basis.
That's true. But Dr. Haim's message isn't limited to those extreme circumstances.
Right. He believes that the principles of active love and sacrifice should guide our actions in all areas of life.
So it's about recognizing the smaller everyday forms of injustice and oppression that exist all around us.
And finding ways to respond, even in those seemingly insignificant moments.
So it's about being aware of our surroundings, being attentive to the needs of those around us, and being willing to speak up or take action when we see something wrong.
Exactly. It could be something as simple as standing up for a coworker who's being bullied volunteering our time at a local soup kitchen, or donating to a cause we believe in.
Those might seem like small gestures, but they are all expressions of active love.
And they can make a real difference in the lives of others.
I like that perspective. It makes this whole call to action feel less daunting, less overwhelming.
It's not about waiting for some extraordinary opportunity to prove our virtue,
but about integrating these principles into our daily lives.
And I think that's where faith plays a crucial role.
I hope so.
Well, Dr. Heim reminds us that we're not alone in this struggle. We have a God who sees our efforts, who knows our hearts, and who gives us the strength to act with courage and compassion even when it's difficult.
That's reassuring. It takes some of the pressure off knowing that we don't have to be perfect or solve all the world's problems on our own.
We can simply focus on doing what we can where we are with the resources we have.
And trusting that even small acts of kindness and justice can contribute to a larger tapestry of love and redemption
that God is weaving throughout history.
I'm starting to understand how Dr. Heim connects these seemingly disparate ideas, from personal wealth to global genocide to everyday acts of courage.
It's all about aligning our lives with a deeper sense of purpose.
With a commitment to righteousness and active love.
Exactly. And recognizing that our choices, no matter how big or small, have an impact on the world around us.
This has been a really eye-opening conversation. Dr. Heim's interpretations have definitely challenged me to think more deeply about these familiar proverbs.
They're full of surprises, aren't they?
And to consider their implications for my own life.
Me too. I always learn something new when we delve into these ancient texts.
But before we wrap up, I wanted to circle back to this idea of proverbial pairs and triplets. Could you share one more example just to solidify my understanding of this concept?
Of course. Let's take a look at Proverbs 11:24-26. Verse 24 says, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want."
Okay, so this verse seems to be praising generosity.
And warning against stinginess.
Right. What's the counterpoint or the additional perspective that creates the pair?
Verse 25 says, "Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered."
So it's reinforcing that idea that generosity is ultimately beneficial.
Not just for the recipient, but for the giver as well.
It's like a reciprocal blessing that flows from acts of kindness and sharing.
Exactly.
Is there a third verse that makes this a triplet?
There is. Verse 26 reads, "The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it."
Okay, so this verse is adding a social and economic dimension to the discussion.
It's highlighting how generosity benefits the entire community while selfishness leads to resentment and hardship.
That's a great example. It shows how these three verses work together to explore different facets of the same principle.
Verse 24 introduces the idea. Verse 25 expands on it, and verse 26 adds that social and economic layer.
I'm starting to see how Dr. Heim uses this approach to uncover these layers of meaning and connections within Proverbs.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
It's a fascinating way to approach these ancient texts.
By looking beyond the surface level, we can discover insights that are both timeless and relevant to our lives today.
Absolutely. And it's definitely made me want to dig deeper into Proverbs and see what other gems I can unearth using this new lens.
It's an endless journey of discovery.
But for now, I think we've covered a lot of ground, from the complexities of wealth and security to the challenging call to action in the face of evil to these fascinating proverbial pairs that illuminate deeper truths.
It's been a whirlwind tour of Proverbs.
It really has. And I appreciate your insights. It's always a pleasure to dive into these topics with you.
The pleasure is all mine.
So before we move on to the final takeaway for today's deep dive, I wanted to ask you to reflect on one thing that particularly resonated with you from our conversation. What stood out to you from Dr. Heim's interpretations?
That's a great question. I think what struck me most was his emphasis on the connection between faith and action.
I was going to say the same thing.
It's easy to get caught up in intellectual debates about theology or morality, but Dr. Heim reminds us that true faith is lived out in the choices we make.
In the actions we take and the way we treat others.
He challenges us to move beyond passive belief and embrace a more active and engaged form of discipleship.
It's a reminder that faith isn't just a set of beliefs or rituals, it's a way of life.
a way of life that should permeate every aspect of our being.
It's about embodying those values of love, compassion, and justice in our interactions with the world around us.
And remembering that even small acts of kindness and courage can have a ripple effect.
Contributing to a more just and compassionate society.
That's a thought worth holding on to.
Now that's a great segue to our final takeaway. So as we wrap up our deep dive into the book of Proverbs with Dr. Haim as our guide, let's recap some of the key takeaways for our listeners.
Sounds good. Yeah, it's been such a rich conversation.
It really has. So many thought-provoking insights.
Lots to unpack.
We started by looking at those contrasting proverbs about wealth and security.
Right. Those are interesting.
I think Dr. Haim's interpretation really flipped the script on how we often view those concepts.
Definitely. It's not always what it seems on the surface.
Yeah. He challenged the idea that material possessions equal true security.
Reminding us that genuine fulfillment comes from somewhere else.
Yes. He highlighted how Proverbs 10.15 and 10.16 work as a proverbial pair.
Right.
To show that while wealth might offer a temporary illusion of safety, lasting security comes from righteous living.
And trust in God.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And then we explored that really intense passage on genocide in Proverbs 24.10-12.
Heavy stuff.
Where Dr. Haim didn't shy away from calling out the excuses we often use for inaction.
Like, we didn't know, or we couldn't have done anything.
Right, in the face of suffering.
His perspective on those verses was especially powerful.
Yeah, you know, considering his own personal reflections on the Holocaust.
It adds a whole other dimension to his interpretation.
It's a sobering reminder that these proverbs aren't just abstract ideas.
They have real-world implications.
They challenge us to confront evil and injustice.
In all its forms, yeah.
Dr. Haim's message was clear. We can't afford to be passive bystanders.
When we see others being harmed or oppressed,
we have a moral obligation to act.
Even when it's uncomfortable or even dangerous.
And he emphasized that this call to action
is rooted in love.
Is rooted in love and compassion.
Yeah.
He urged us to embody those values.
In our daily lives, not just in extraordinary circumstances.
So it's about cultivating a sense of moral courage.
Then responsibility.
Recognizing that even small acts of kindness and justice can contribute to a more compassionate world.
It all adds up.
So here's the final question for our listeners to ponder.
Okay, I like this.
Dr. Haim urges us to take action, even if it means martyrdom. What does this call to action mean for you in your own life?
That's a powerful question. It's not an easy one to answer.
It's not, but it's worth wrestling with.
What are the areas where you can make a difference?
Even in small ways.
Perhaps it's speaking up against prejudice.
Or volunteering your time.
Or simply being more mindful of the needs of those around you.
Whatever it is.
Remember that you don't have to be a superhero to make a positive impact.
Small acts of love and courage multiplied across countless individuals can create a ripple effect.
And transform our world.
And as Dr. Haim reminds us, we're not alone in this endeavor.
We have a God who walks with us.
Empowering us to live out our values.
And contribute to a more just and compassionate society.
Now, that's a thought worth holding on to. So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the book of Proverbs.
It's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
We hope Dr. Haim's interpretations have inspired you to see these ancient texts with fresh eyes.
To see them in a new light.
And to consider their timeless relevance for our lives today.
They really are full of wisdom.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning.
And keep diving deeper.
Into the vast ocean of knowledge and wisdom
that surrounds us.
And never underestimate the power of even the smallest act of love and courage
to make a difference in the world.
Thanks again for listening.
See you next time.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the book of Proverbs with Dr. Haim as our guide, let's recap some of the key takeaways for our listeners.
Yeah, sounds good. It's been such a rich conversation with so many thought-provoking insights.
It really has been.
Yeah.
We started by looking at those contrasting proverbs about wealth and security.
Right.
And Dr. Haim's interpretation really flipped the script on how we often view those concepts.
Definitely. It's not always what it seems on the surface, you know?
He challenged that idea that material possessions equal true security.
Reminding us that genuine fulfillment comes from somewhere deeper.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he highlighted how Proverbs 10.45 and 10.16 work as a proverbial pair.
Right.
To show that while wealth might offer a temporary illusion of safety,
lasting security comes from righteous living.
And trusting God.
Right.
Exactly. And then we explored that really intense passage on genocide.
Proverbs 24.0-12.
Yeah.
Heavy stuff.
Where Dr. Haim didn't shy away from calling out those excuses we often use for inaction.
Like, we didn't know or we couldn't have done anything.
Right. In the face of suffering.
His perspective on those verses was particularly poignant, you know.
Especially given his reflections on the Holocaust.
Yeah, it adds a whole other dimension to his interpretation.
It's a sobering reminder that these proverbs aren't just abstract ideas.
They have real-world implications.
And they challenge us to confront evil and injustice in all its forms.
We can't just sit back and do nothing.
Dr. Heim's message was clear. We can't afford to be passive bystanders.
When we see others being harmed or oppressed,
we have a moral obligation to act.
Even when it's uncomfortable or even dangerous.
Yeah. And he emphasized that this call to action is rooted in love.
And compassion.
Urging us to embody those values in our daily lives, not just in extraordinary circumstances.
It's about those small acts of courage and kindness.
Cultivating a sense of moral courage and responsibility.
Recognizing that even the smallest things we do can make a difference.
So here's a final question for our listeners to ponder as we wrap up.
Okay, hit us with it.
Dr. Heim urges us to take action, even if it means martyrdom. What does this call to action mean for you in your own life?
It's a powerful question. That's not an easy one to answer.
It's not, but it's definitely worth wrestling with.
Yeah.
So as you reflect on that question, think about the areas where you can make a difference.
Even in small ways.
Perhaps it's speaking up against prejudice or volunteering your time or simply being more mindful of the needs of those around you.
Exactly.
Whatever it is, remember that you don't have to be a superhero to make a positive impact. Small acts of love and courage multiplied across countless individuals can create a ripple effect and transform our world.
It all adds up in the end.
And as if Dr. Heim reminds us, we're not alone in this endeavor. We have a God who walks with us, empowering us to live out our values and contribute to a more just and compassionate society.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Book of Proverbs. We hope Dr. Heim's interpretations have inspired you to see these ancient texts with fresh eyes and to consider their timeless relevance for our lives today. Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deeper into that vast ocean of knowledge and wisdom that surrounds us.
And never underestimate the power of even the smallest act of love and courage to make a difference in the world.
Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.